Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, it was a few weeks ago now that California Congressman Dennis Cardoza announced he would not be seeking re-election in 2012. And not only that, he took several pretty sharp shots at President Obama for bailing on his promise to make the housing market the linchpin to economic recovery. Well, Cardoza still has over a year left in office, and he's not done being furious with the president. And it's good that the president's being outed here as being completely derelict on his promise, even though the promise that he made might not have been the best one fiscally. But nonetheless, here's what Cardoza says. Quote, "The housing crisis is our economic cancer. Until we fix that, cure the ailment, provide the right chemotherapy or radiation, we are not going to get out of the economic crisis that we are in. The president has been putting band-aids on the housing market instead of fixing the root cause." He goes on to say, quote, "I'm sorry, but you're the president of the darn United States of America." That's my edit. He goes on to say, "You have to do what is right for the country and not worry about the political ramifications. I don't know how this president got so off kilter with the message. He did such a good job in the last election and has been so tone deaf since," unquote. That's kind of putting it out there. The basic story is that Obama promised Cardoza $50 billion in stimulus money for shoring up the housing market, making mortgage payments easier. So far, the president's put exactly $2.6 billion towards that. Again, not sure that's the best use of the money, but he's clearly failed on his promise to the left. This is yet another example of the hope and changey flowery rhetoric and empty promises of 2008. Do have an expiration date, as we've well chronicled, and for Dennis Cardoza, it's time to pay the piper.
The reason I would nominate this as the good martini today, Greg, is that month by month, it is dawning on more folks. We on the right kind of figured this out a while ago to the independents, and I think now even you see Democrats arguing that Obama will have to run for re-election as essentially a failed president, that he came into office right after an economic collapse. He had one key task, let's rebuild the economy, and that has not happened. And what's more is that you really got to, you know, stretch and squint your eyes to see anything you could argue as an improvement. And it kind of, I would tie this in with another recent comment of Tina Brown, by no means a friend of conservatives, saying to Joe Scarborough that, yeah, I think Obama doesn't like his job. Well, let's get him out of it then. You're seeing more liberals kind of recognizing, well, things have not worked out quite right. And, you know, he was such a great campaigner. And what went wrong? Yeah, I think Cardoza, I mean, like, in between the lines there is Cardoza saying, look, I got hoodwinked. I got fooled. I thought he really, you know, knew what he was doing. One of the things you talk about, the amount that was promised, the amounts that got spent. In my conversations with Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana and demigod of the campaign spot, who will forever be the measuring stick for excellence in governance, you know, his staff was telling me Bobby Jindal is not a hostile guy, but when somebody tells him something's going to be done, he just doesn't believe them. He's kind of a skeptic, and he's particularly skeptical when it comes to from a member of government bureaucracy. Now, he's working at the state level, but he and his team have this both psychological attitude and policy of constantly following up to make sure that promised reforms and promised changes are actually being enacted. And if there are hitches and there are delays, figuring out what they are and fixing them. And, you know, with Obama, there seems to be this, all right, we passed the bill, the problem is solved. And then you find out, no, the wheels of government turn slowly and there are delays and there's this inertia of bureaucracy. So to me, that's one of the real problems with Obama is that he's never been a details guy. He never wanted to get that deep into the weeds. He has, one, very little understanding of how government obviously actually works, which is why he's shocked to learn there's no such thing as shovel-ready jobs, et cetera, et cetera. but secondly, I think he doesn't really care that much. I think it's one of those things where the fact that there's like hundreds of billions of dollars that have been allocated to companies or set aside and basically that, you know, that are ready for companies to spend as part of the stimulus that aren't being spent. I mean, I thought the whole point of the stimulus was spend it quick to get into the economy so it would start, you know, having positive economic effects. You and I would look at that, Greg, and say, what the heck is going wrong here? You know, want to start grabbing people and shaking them and saying, why aren't you doing your jobs? With Obama, there's kind of this shrug. You know, he loses money on Solyndra, and it's like, you know, sometimes you gamble and it's going to lose. You know, at the exact same time, he's denouncing Wall Street banks for being reckless and gambling. I guess he doesn't like the competition. Each time a Democrat wakes up and realizes that the Obama of 2008, that governing is different from campaigning, and that guy from 2008 is never going to show up, The better it is for the country, I think, building a consensus to move in another direction in 2012, and that would add up to a Republican mandate, or at least I hope.
On to martini number two now, and we always enjoy when we have the chance to bring in a little bit of Jim Cramer from CNBC's Mad Money.
Jim Cramer does not is the only man I know who takes caffeine to calm down.
Probably true. And anyway, he was off on a number of tangents as he normally is on his program, and one of them deals with the housing market, as we just addressed, is still in the dumps, and that's what Dennis Cardoza is upset about. He's got one proposed solution. Cramer talking about the fact that many people, they're giving up on paying mortgages, and that is leading to a major problem.
We can talk about the root cause of the housing crisis. We almost always discuss two things, right? The high level of foreclosed properties on the market and the underwater borrowers who can't sell their homes. People who are more likely to simply stop paying their mortgages and then bet that they won't be evicted anytime soon. Yep, squatting's back in style.
And then he went on to slam the homebuyer's tax credit, which, of course, was on the books for a little while, by saying there already was almost a complete lack of demand, and now we built all these other homes that people still don't want to buy, and now there are people who are on the hook for those as well. So this problem has only gotten worse, not better, Jim.
One of the reasons I nominated this as our bad martini is that Cramer expanded on those comments a bit today. The latest numbers are out from the foreclosure market are not good. Apparently, like, the average unpaid one is now in the category of like 600 days past due. So you do the math on that. That's, you know, that's close to 2 years. And Cramer's point was, look, at that point, you're not having trouble paying your mortgage at that point. At that point, you're squatting. And he said, we have a squatter economy. Then he also said, which is, I think it'd be interesting to see, you know, to try to measure something that is almost inherently unmeasurable. He says, we're moving towards a off the books economy, that you're seeing more and more workers being paid under the table in cash, not having to report it as income, et cetera, et cetera. And he said a big reason for this is the Obama regulations. Businesses don't want to have to deal with all of this crap. Well, gee whiz, you know, this is what got Greece in trouble. This is what has gotten most of these Southern European countries in trouble, is that they end up having two economies. The official economy, which is heavily regulated and sclerotic, barely moving at all, and you know, it's enormous paperwork and red tape and a pain in the neck to get anything done. And then you have your off-the-books black market economy, which is much more efficient, but obviously means a heck of a lot of lost tax revenue. And, you know, when you're paying cash, there's a certain amount of let the buyer beware. Cramer was quick to emphasize this is not something we've had in America before. Perhaps what you're seeing is the Athensizing of the United States, that you're seeing America turn into Greece with this two-tiered economy of on-the-books and off-the-books. This is, you know, terrible development. I, you know, one of the reasons I nominate this is the bad martini is the nagging doubt that I hope a Republican president in 2013 is able to, you know, offer an enormous surge of confidence back into the markets and back into the business community, and people backtrack from this. But boy, you know, Greg, I don't know, but I have this feeling this is not going to be easily undone. And so, you know, Obama promised to bring change to America. He has. It's the squatter economy, it's the off-the-books economy, and it's the food stamp economy. And, you know, change has come to America.
Yay.
I can't even bring myself to drink to that, Craig.
Yeah, I think we're just going to send that one back. Well, one of the Republicans hoping to be the person to encapsulate and articulate the vision of optimism and bringing back the American economy is Mitt Romney. The economy is basically his bread and butter issue, has been since 2008, and certainly is this time as well. He has not been one to do a ton of interviews, either on the Sunday morning shows or other major outlets, but he did sit down recently with Brett Baer, and one of the things Brett Baer talked about was the fact that Mitt Romney, over time, has established conflicting positions on a number of issues, ranging from climate change to obviously his ideas on health care, which he is defending, but at one time he thought it was a good idea on a national level. He now claims that he never said that. Immigration is another issue, abortion, gay rights, and that sort of thing. And so Romney very much blanched at the question during the interview, and apparently after the interview, he was even more direct. Here's Brett Baer explaining what happened in a conversation with Bill O'Reilly.
He thought it was overly aggressive.
He did. And, he said that to you? He said it was overly aggressive?
He did.
Wow.
And as we were walking in the walk and talk, and then after we finished, he went to his holding room and then came back and said he didn't like the interview and thought it was uncalled for.
Well, here's the problem for Romney. This very much goes against his stereotype. He's been the one who's been supposedly very polished, very calm, the one who, quote-unquote, looks presidential up there. If this is a chip in that, image. That's not good for Mitt Romney, because that's been one of the things that people feel comfortable about him. Even if they're uncomfortable about his positions, they think he kind of has the bearing of a commander-in-chief. And if he gets all flustered about an issue that's been out there about him for years, that doesn't say a whole lot about his composure.
Governor Romney, you're running for president of the United States. Wear a cup. Seriously? So the question's like, you know, do you think mandating people to buy insurance is the right tool? That's uncalled for? I think Ala Pundit at Hot Air had said, no, that's not uncalled for. That's a little too called for, okay? That's kind of precisely what's called for. And he says, you know, listing all the times that Romney has had, you know, more than one position, he says, how can voters trust that what they hear from you today is what you'll believe if you win the White House? You know, and the great question is, Governor Romney, what the heck did you expect from this interview, okay? I mean, right. You know, Brett Baer is not going to lob up softballs. And I think Michelle Malkin had said it very well today, that, look, she called Brett Baer a cupcake, and I don't know if that's a term of endearment or a suggestion that Baer is not aggressive. I think these are perfect, down-the-line, tough but fair questions. But she says, look, you know, Brett Baer is a cupcake. The rest of the media are velociraptors. Okay, if Brett Baer flusters you, you gotta raise your game a lot, because you're gonna get a lot of much harder questions. I guess what really kind of bugs me, and I wonder if this means that Romney buys into this notion that Fox News' job is to elect Republicans. You and I like it. It's definitely comes at the news from a more right of center angle than CNN or obviously MSNBC. But their job is not to promote Republican candidates. You know, their job is to ask the tough questions of everybody. And what makes them conservative is that they ask tough questions of Democrats too. The idea that Bear's job is to ask nice questions that make Romney look good. You know, suck it up, Governor. Come on, this is the big show. This is the ball game here. You gotta. Be ready for these kinds of questions, and the idea that you're getting flustered by some fairly basic ones is not reassuring. Now, I realize I've come across as Mr. Anti-Newt Gingrich these last couple of days, and people say, Jim, why are you attacking Mitt? Look, I'm the best candidate possible, and that best candidate is Bobby Jindal. But since he's not running, I got to get the best candidate out of whoever's left. And so the idea that we're going to get anybody we're going to get a really good nominee by taking it easy on them or by, only asking them nice questions. You know, what is the point of this? To get them through the primary process so they can enter the general election and then get right into the buzzsaw of the mainstream media? Do you really think you're going to get tougher scrutiny from the right now than you are from the mainstream media in the general election? Come on. I'm cranky at everybody right now. I'm writing in the Jindal, Christie, McDonnell, Rubio Toomey ticket. I mean, the first five-headed president of the United States. And, my cloning experiment could work well. I'm calling it the Serpentor Project for all the G.I. Joe fans out there.
Jim, I think all of the Republican candidates are afraid of us now. That's probably a good thing. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.